You're listening to Cindy's Voice, a podcast that aims to raise awareness and advocate for the enslaved in an effort to end sex trafficking and sexual exploitation. Together, we're a community that educates, equips, and empowers you to take action against modern-day slavery. Every episode, we bring you inspirational stories of survivors who have been through the ordeal of human trafficking and sexual assault. In addition, we interview key advocates in the anti-trafficking movement and have them share their comments on the detrimental effects of human trafficking in our society. Now, here is your host, Cindy.
Hi, welcome to Cindy's Voice Podcast. This is Cindy, your host, and with me today is Andrea Timmerman and Laura Schoenberg. They are immigration lawyers here in South Florida. Today we're going to be analyzing how is to be a human trafficking survivor while dealing with the immigration processes. How is to apply for it? How do you do it? And what to expect? Andrea and Laura are going to walk us through that process so we better understand, or we have a better understanding on how to help those survivors and victims when working with them. And for the community members, then you will have a little bit more insight of how is to be a victim of human trafficking. This is what we are all about in Cindy's Voice Podcast, right? Today is Monday, and I want to wish you a very good week. And now, let's introduce our guest. Hi, welcome, and thank you so much for being in here, Laura and Andrea. How are you?
Good. Hi, Cindy. Thank you for having us.
Thank you for accepting this interview with us. Andrea, Laura, can you please tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you like? What is your favorite color? A little bit, just to get to know you a little bit better.
Go ahead, Andrea.
Sorry, you want to start now? On me? Okay. So my name is Andrea Timmerman. I am originally from Brazil. As Cindy said, I'm an immigration attorney licensed in Florida. But doing immigration, we can do, you know, all over the U.S. One of the reasons why I do this is because I was an immigrant myself. I'm still an immigrant myself. And I don't know. I love riding bikes, doing yoga. On my day-to-day, and I love helping people.
So I'm Laura Schoenberg. I'm also a Florida bar certified. I'm originally from Argentina. A curious fact is that I met Andrea in law school, in our first day of law school. We used to be study partners, and then we became business partners. After we graduated and got our credentials. I love traveling, spending time with the family, being in the outdoors. And as Andrea said, I also have a very similar experience. I'm an immigrant. I came to the United States with 20 years old. So, you know, went through my own immigration experience.
So today we have such a hot topic, and let's start with Andrea. What is the difference in between applying for an immigration process when you are an American and when you are an immigrant? Can you please explain to us a little bit?
They both suffer a lot, of course, and one of the first steps that I would always recommend is to call the human trafficking hotline. They can provide a lot of resources. If you are a U.S. citizen, you don't need to think about your immigration, about being deported, and you are handed more benefits in an easier way. But if you are an immigrant, you have always the concern that if you, you know, get caught, if you're here past the lawful time that you're permitted to stay, that you could be deported. And also there is most of the time a threat of deportation by the trafficker, you know, him or herself. So when a non-U.S. citizen is a survivor of trafficking, she could basically get a lot of benefits from the government, but she also needs to fight for her immigration status. And it's a whole like process that requires the person to revive a lot of what had happened to her. So it is, I think, mentally more difficult for a survivor to deal with the whole immigration process than for a U.S. citizen to deal with the trafficking itself.
So we established the difference between being an American citizen and being an immigrant person regarding soliciting benefits when you are a human trafficking survivor. Now we're going to talk regarding the difference in the process of soliciting residency when you are a T visa holder versus just marrying a U.S. citizen. Laura?
Yeah, sure. So for a person who marries a U.S. citizen, they have really like the easiest path to the permanent residence and eventually the citizenship. This is because U.S. citizens are regarded as having the most rights. So they are basically the ones who are petitioning for their relative, for their immediate relative. So the process would be to, if the spouse would be here present in the U.S., the U.S. citizen would be petitioning to immigration for an immigrant visa for his or her spouse. And at the same time, it will be requesting an adjustment of the status of the immigrant. So the process would be filing with USCIS the proper forms, and eventually there is a waiting period in which the immigrant usually gets his or her employment authorization and his or her parole to travel. And eventually, they will have an interview to show that this marriage is a bona fide marriage and that the immigrant doesn't have any reason to be inadmissible as a permanent resident. So this is, in a very general summary, what would be the process for somebody marrying a U.S. citizen. Of course, there are some cases in which the immigrant entered the country without a proper visa, without proper status, for example, going through the border, and then the process would be a little different and maybe more complicated than with other requirements. Now, for the visa for victims or survivors of human trafficking, mm-hmm. there is a special status called the T visa, as you mentioned, Cindy, and the process pretty much would be for the survivor to show that he or she is a victim of a severe form of trafficking. They will have to be present in the U.S. by the time that they file for this benefit.
So T visas are only for people inside the country, not for the outsiders.
Correct.
Okay,
yes, correctly. They have to be present. They could even be present subject to a prosecution or investigation of the traffickers. Maybe they being allowed to return to the U.S. with a certain status just to participate from the investigation, from the prosecution, mm-hmm. but they have to be present in order to file for this visa. If not the green card, as initially it's a visa, it's a temporary status that protects them to remain here. And eventually they can file for the green card, for the permanent residency, once they get this status. So as I said, the requirements would be to show that they are a victim of severe form of trafficking, that they are present, and that they have complied with at least a reasonable request for assistance in the investigation or the prosecution of trafficking. So they need to show that they did their best effort to become available to the authorities in order to prosecute or to investigate their own traffickers. There are some exceptions, especially if the victim is a survivor, is under 18 years old, or cooperating with the investigation would generate physical or psychological trauma. So there are some exceptions, but pretty much they will have to show these three elements and provide evidence to establish this. And as Andrea said, going through the hotline is really the first step to start putting together this evidence.
And if I could add two things, I'm sorry, Laura.
Yes.
When we are talking severe form of trafficking, it includes both sex trafficking and labor trafficking. So sometimes you just think of human trafficking in terms of sex trafficking, but also involves labor trafficking. And also we need to demonstrate that the victim will suffer extreme hardship if they need to come back to their country. And this could be shown like if they'll be persecuted by the traffickers, or if they would be re-traumatized, if they need to move, if they need to relocate. So there's also these additional requirements. But I'm sorry, Laura, we're going back to the National Human Trafficking Hotline. As I said, is a very good resource.
And that's actually very important because the extreme hardship is like an important element that they will have to establish. And some of the difficulties of this kind of visa is that it's an evidentiary requirement, is to be able to show all this beyond the fear of the person and say, well, I'm scared to go back. Well, you need to establish this either with a psychological evaluation, with different kinds of evidence, with threats, or other documents. But it's important for the survivor to know that they will have to provide evidence of the crime.
And I want to add in here that the National Human Trafficking Victim Assistance Program provides funding for comprehensive case management services to foreign victims of trafficking and potential victims seeking the Health and Human Services Certification, which we know as HHS letter. And that's in any location in the United States. Ensuring a case management with referrals and emergency assistance, such as food, clothing, and shelter to victims of human trafficking and certain family members. This helped them to gain access to housing, employment, mental health screening and therapy, and some medical and legal services. It is also known as TVAP.
So if you think you are a victim of human trafficking, a survivor of human trafficking, whether it is sexual or labor, please know that you are not alone.
Myth or fact? As an immigrant, I cannot apply for housing or food stamps and other benefits because it will damage my immigration case or approval. Is this a myth or a fact?
Yes, definitely, Cindy. And also, I want to correct a misconception because there is a public charge that it was basically imposed by the Trump administration, where they are looking more in investigating a person who wants to change status to become a legal permanent resident or to get a visa. They want to see if that person has received any public assistance. But there are exceptions to this. And a T visa holder has an exception to that. Mm-hmm. That means that if you have a T visa status, like a trafficking visa status, or if you have a continuous present status, which is a temporary status also that usually is given to you if you are assisting law enforcement, and it's given to you in a faster rate than a T visa. And if you have a U visa status, you are exempted from the public charge. So that means you can still obtain benefits, and that should not be seen against you when it's time for you to adjust status or to get the visa. But it's only while you hold the T visa status. So if, for instance, you have a T visa and you are receiving food stamps, you are receiving supplemental income benefits, and then later you change status for a working visa and you continue receiving those benefits, then you're going to be harmed later on when you apply for your green card because you were not allowed to receive those benefits under a working visa, but you were allowed to receive it during a T visa. So as far as the benefits, you are allowed to receive them with a T non-immigrant status, with a UNON immigrant status, with a VAWA status, or with a continuous presence status, you are allowed to receive those benefits, and this should not harm you moving forward with immigration. One thing that I want to tell you is that the T visa requires that the applicant is lawfully admitted to the United States. So if the applicant has had a criminal record before, different from a U.S. citizen, you know, that would harm him or her. If the applicant had crossed the border, that would be also something that would harm the process. So if we can demonstrate that all of these are linked to the traffic, then there is a waiver for it. There is a way to get around and still obtain the T visa status. But you still need to go through all the application and see if there is anything that disqualified the person to get the status.
Oh, wow. And you actually answered one of the questions. My next question, it was going to be exactly that. What happened when your trafficker actually make you, you know, come illegally? Because that is something that happens a lot, more likely because it helped them for to hide you, you know, like the government doesn't even know that you exist. So it's even better for them, you know.
And it's hard, as Laura mentioned, the evidence sharing part is hard. And if you were, you know, if you paid a coyote to come here and then later on you were trafficked, that would be counted against you. And for what is observed, like most of the cases that involve people that paid to be smuggled into the United States get their case denied. They look into your whole history to see if there is something that would disqualify you to get to obtain the status.
So pretty much we have always be careful on what we are doing that is going along with the law. No matter what it is, just do our research to see if you as an immigrant will be, if that action is going to be, or possibly can be held against you, right?
That's right. If I may add, the standard, I mean, the criminal standard may be the same for an immigrant and a U.S. citizen, but the way that it affects to the immigrant as far as their immigration status, that's what really makes the difference. And sometimes an immigrant has committed acts that can be considered criminal even if he or she doesn't have a conviction. So as Andrea said, if you pay a coyote to cross the border and you were never caught, and then at the time of applying to the benefit, you know, you need to explain how you got into the U.S. Even if you've never been convicted of crossing illegally, this would be a reason for being inadmissible or for being denied the status or for having to apply for a waiver.
As a lawyer, when representing a human trafficking survivor, is it more difficult than representing someone petitioning their visa through marriage? Is there much difference between handling one customer versus handling the other one?
It is a learning process because we can only sympathize to what all the human trafficking, you know, survivors have been through. But when we first started working with human trafficking survivors, we didn't know much how to act because we were accustomed to working with people asking for working visa or, you know, a marriage visa. And we didn't even have, you know, like a tissue paper box in our office. And a lot of the, you know, the stories are so hard and that they start crying. And we didn't know, we used to look at each other, Laura and I, like, we need to.
And we start crying sometimes.
And we cried all the time.
But yeah, I imagine the story.
It took a lot of talking to psychologists to help us deal with it. Psychologists that, you know, are specialized in human trafficking, because what happens is that a lot of the time is the first time that the person is talking about a traumatic experience that sometimes happens years ago. And when they're telling the story, they're jumping from fact to fact, and sometimes it doesn't match what they are saying. It's very confusing. So it takes, and at the very beginning, we're even skeptical. It's like, you know, is that person really, you know, like, did he go through that? Did she go through that? But then we kind of understood that this is how the mind works, that sometimes they're just bringing things and they have flashbacks. So talking to psychologists, they told us if you put the person close to the door and you close the door, is already a traumatic experience to them. So you need to make the person feel comfortable and safe to be able to tell their stories. And now that we've been working with more survivors and we've been educating ourselves, I think we are able to receive more the information in a safer manner. We understand that we need to talk to the person several times. It's just not one intake that is going to help us get the whole story.
And how long it took you to understand, okay, not in one time I'm going to get the whole thing. I'm not going to understand anything. Like, how long it was that process? Because it's way different to actually do this process with normal people than with us. And domestic violence, like, it's so different. Like, people think, oh, it's the same. No, it's not the same.
No, it's definitely not the same. I think, like, we are, unfortunately, we never gone in, like, training in law school as far as dealing with this.
Oh, my God, you give me an idea. Situation. We totally need to do that.
Definitely,
I think that's
need to do that.
Incredible. So it's really, we sometimes lack the vocabulary even to refer to the victim, refer to the survivor, the way to ask the questions. So one of the things that we both agreed is that it's really, really helpful for the survivor to reach out to a psychologist in parallel of doing their immigration process, and a psychologist that can work together with us, can be in communication with us, because it's really a group effort to be able to help. At the end of the day, we are attorneys. We are immigration attorneys. We sometimes don't have the tools, and we might not have the tools to help with the trauma. The best we can do is really to try to educate ourselves in order to be able to conduct a better intake, to get more facts, to be able to help the survivor with his or her immigration case. But
because we need to convey to immigration what happened to them. And we need to, you know, put in order everything that happened to them and really understand that a lot of the times what happened is that part of the process, independent if it's a T visa, U visa, you need to have a declaration done by the person. And most of the time we have to shape and polish that declaration. So we need to really understand what happened in order to convey to immigration, because the immigration officer will not have the time that we put into doing that. They're going to look at the file. They probably put like 1 or 2 hours into that. And if they don't understand what's happened, that's it. The case is denied.
Yes. Or they don't believe what happened. So, yes. And the truth of the matter is, in immigration, there's a lot of other cases that are not about trafficking that are very much like, you know, a copycat. They are all pretty much the same. It's like a process. And this is not, this case requires for us attorneys to take the time to sit down with the survivor several times. And it's not something you can do like a massive, you know, one after the other one and do like 100 cases at the same time. This really requires of our time and empathy and being really there in a more personal way than a regular other client, maybe, that is more like, you know, just following the immigration law and process and filing the case.
When talking to other survivors and trying to coach them regarding the process they have to do and everything, one of the things that they complain the most is that they need to go to processes and writing letters, and that actually give them headaches and some other health difficulties, you know, and so they try to avoid that. How difficult is this for you guys when you are working, and does it happen to you? Do you have to be almost chasing these survivors to actually provide very helpful information for themselves? Like, can you please explain a little bit? Because this is something that happens a lot very often. And yes, let's explain that.
One of the psychologists we work a lot is my sister. And she's a great psychologist, and she is specialized in this area. And we have a a client in common, and she would tell me that the client told her that every single time she needed to see her, because we needed to provide a psychological evaluation, the client would have back pains. And my sister understood that the back pains was, you know, she was procrastinating. It was a trauma. She didn't want to survive, to revive the stories. So we understand that sometimes getting a piece of evidence from a survivor makes it is much more than getting a marriage certificate from a client that is coming for a marriage adjustment.
Yes.
You know, it has a baggage. It has like a lot of trauma, you know, behind it. And also with this type of cases, we depend on other people. Sometimes we depend on an FBI investigation to get their FBI supplement. Sometimes, and then they need time. It's like, well, call me in a month to see if I've done anything. So we are dealing with a lot of different sectors to put the case together.
That I think that like a good way to handle it for us is to really give very clear steps, like just have the survivor focus on the immediate next step instead of overwhelming her or him with the entire process, because it's overwhelming even for us, the entire process. And there's so much uncertainty and unknown and possibilities that, of course, we try to explain it and explain all the things that can happen or what, but I think that it could be very overwhelming. So it's better just to give like a specific instruction. Okay, now you need to meet with the psychologist now to do your assessment. Exactly. Something very, you know, specific, and then go like this one by one so that the person doesn't get really overwhelmed and just gives up of the whole process, because it's really like overwhelming in the sense of the law and in the sense of obviously the emotional trauma.
And changing a little bit the topic, with COVID-19, all the immigration processes are very, very slow now. I know that they stopped the face-to-face or in-person appointment. So can you update us on how is everything going on regarding COVID and immigration processes, please?
Our experience, all the face-to-face cases, like the ones that require interviews or the ones that require you to go to the immigration office for biometrics, for instance, these are delayed because they don't want to have, for now, the face-to-face contact, although they just reopened. But a lot of the cases that are purely administrative, they have been moving forward. In terms of the T visa, today is taking between 20 to 28 months if you would apply. So they are processing cases that were applied on or before March 14th, 2018. And this has been their processing time for a while. So I haven't seen much a delay on the T visa. I have seen a lot of delays on U visas. But for now, I haven't seen on T visas. What do you think, Lau?
Yes, I agree. And I just wanted to mention that the executive order of the president would not affect victims, survivors of trafficking who are applying for a T visa. This is not going to be affected. It's really referring to immigrants who are abroad and they are applying for different benefits, different visas, but it wouldn't affect at least this executive order. I don't know if as far as personnel and, you know, a lot of people working from home, maybe there will be delays. We really don't know.
Wow, and our time is going so fast. I don't know about you guys, but I feel that time flies whenever you are very, very excited or doing something very entertaining. And this conversation is amazing. I am enjoying it so much, and I guess that's why it's going so fast. So let's start wrapping up, Laura and Andra. So as a recap, the T non-immigrant status or the T visa is a temporary immigration benefit that enables certain victims of human trafficking to remain in the United States for up to 4 years if they have assisted law enforcement in an investigation or prosecuting of human trafficking. The T visa status is also available for certain qualifying family members of the trafficking victims, and also the T visa holders are eligible for employment authorization and some federal and state benefits and services. If you qualify for it, you also will qualify to become a lawful permanent resident through a green card. But remember, you have to be a victim of severe form of trafficking, which is defined as sex or labor trafficking. You also need to be in the United States territory. That's very important to know. You also need to comply with any reasonable request from a law enforcement agency in the assistance on the investigation or prosecution of the case. Unless you are under the age of 18 or you are unable to cooperate due to physical or psychological trauma. And last but not least, you need to demonstrate that you will suffer extreme hardship involving unusual and severe harm if you were removed from the United States territory in accordance with being admissible to the United States. And if you are not, for whatever reason, you may be eligible for a waiver. But you need to check this with an immigration lawyer, of course. Laura, we are wrapping up, so would you like to add something else?
Yes. Human Trafficking Hotline, the National Human Trafficking Hotline, is a very important resource, and it provides help with food, with shelter. It connects the survivor or the victim to the law enforcement, FBI, and it connects the victim to, you know, nonprofit organizations that end up looking for attorneys like us. Their number is 1-888-373-7888. So it's a good resource to always go to. It's the National Human Trafficking Hotline.
I just want to let everyone out there know that there is help out there, that we can never, we can never guarantee any kind of result out of anything of our work, but that we are committed to all our clients, to all the survivors. We really want them to reach out and to look for help, to look for help, psychological help, an attorney that would listen, and there is help out there. Our office is located in Hollywood. Our phone number is 954-843-3494. And obviously, all what we have discussed is not really legal advice, but there are amazing attorneys out there that are willing to help and to listen and to work with you to find really a resolution to your current situation. So don't be shy. Give us a call. Give the hotline a call. And, you know, it's not too late to start today.
So if you're thinking into doing your immigration process, whether it's a T visa, domestic violence, or U visa, or a petition for your spouse, you can contact Laura and Andra, and they are located in Hollywood, but Hollywood, South Florida, not California. Be careful with that. They do speak Spanish, English, and Portuguese, and their phone number for you to contact is area code 954-843-3494. Let me repeat that. 954-843-3494. We definitely need to invite you again, guys. There's so much more to talk and cover regarding immigration laws that just 45 minutes doesn't do justice. But I'm very happy and pleased that you have been with us. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you.
We really admire you, Cindy. You're doing an incredible work, and we really had the pleasure of working with you.
we admire you and thank you for having us.
And Cindy, we learned so much from you. It is true. We learn to see things with different eyes.
And
sometimes there are things that are in front of us that we don't see.
Mm-hmm.
And now we are looking for, you know, we can see it with different eyes. So you taught us a lot. I think it's great what you're doing with the victims and survivors of human trafficking.
Oh, thank you so much. That means the world to me. I do want to thank you for taking the next step for getting out of your comfort zone and learning how to treat these type of people, you know, these type of community. It's very much needed and very much appreciated.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cindy, really, for having us. I really appreciate it.
And so we have reached the end of another episode of Cindy's Voice. Thank you for listening, and thank you to our guests, Andrea Timmerman and Laura Schombert, immigration attorneys, for being with us today and educating us regarding the human trafficking, T visa, and immigration processes. You can connect with us at Cindy's Voice Podcast on Instagram and Facebook, or you can go to our website, cindysvoice.org. And don't forget to sign up for our newsletter to receive updates of our latest episodes. Please take good care of yourself and see you in our next episode. Thank you for listening to Cindy's Voice Podcast. Have a great week.
Thanks for joining us this week on Cindy's Voice. If you like what you're listening to, like our YouTube channel, Cindy's Voice Podcast, and give us a 5-star review. This means everything to us. Follow us on Instagram at Cindy V. Rivero to receive updates on our latest episode. See you in our next episode. Till then, have a great week.